Good morning and a very warm welcome here to Heartlands and Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we are going to be joined by Joe, who's going to be sharing with us about worldly weariness. Father Fergal is with us, sharing reflection on how we ought to live in this Lenten season by looking at the Beatitudes. And Pastor Phil is going to be sharing with us again from the Book of Jonah. This time his heading is Second Chances. So it is wonderful to have you with us as we go and delve into all that's in store for us, the blessing that's in store for us today. To commence, let us begin our time by reading today's lectionary psalm, a beautiful psalm, a psalm I hold really dear, a psalm that words go and I know off by heart for the most part of it, but actually go and impact and influence my daily living, and that is Psalm 121. We've discussed this psalm before on this show. It is one of those traveling psalms that we speak of, one of the songs of ascent, as the people were heading up to Jerusalem in preparation for the Passover feast or such like things that were taking place. And so it is no wonder it is used in a Lenten capacity as we consider the journey that Jesus was making, being that Passover lamb, laying down his life for you and me, and being crucified on that Roman cross. Let us look at the words of the psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. What a way to start the show with such a blessing, considering the promises of God to you and me. So folks, let us resume our journey on what it is that we believe, continuing to go through the Apostles' Creed. Let us remind ourselves again of what the Apostles' Creed is. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Today, we continue our journey by looking at the statement, the Holy Catholic Church. The Holy Catholic Church. The word holy means set apart for God. Although the whole world belongs to God, because he made it and still loves it, there are particular things and people separated for God's special use and service within the world. This is true of the church, which is not primarily a building or an institution, but is a body of people, the people of God. The word Catholic means universal, the worldwide church of all ages. This one universal church is expressed in local congregations, and each local congregation expresses this universal nature in a variety of ways. This may be through the range of their mission and prayers, which should be concerned with the worldwide church of all denominations and cultures, through their worship, which will often draw on the prayers and the songs of different traditions, nations, and ages. Believing in this Catholic nature of the church, we, as God's people, should be committed to working in partnership with the worldwide church of all denominations for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to seeking ways to strengthen relationships between different denominations. Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we have been digging into the Apostles' Creed, continuing our journey in what it is that we believe, this time looking at the Holy Catholic Church. That means that if a person is a believer in Jesus Christ throughout the world, no matter where it is, irrespective of denomination, that they are someone who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are the worldwide universal church, both in times past and present. We've also read Psalm 121, a psalm where the psalmist goes and says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The joy and excitement that we can know in that, irrespective of how we feel. And now we're going to turn our focus on what it is that is troubling Joe this weather. And he is speaking of a weariness that has come over him and may have also come over you. And that's why we can take joy and comfort in Psalms like Psalm 121. Later on, Father Fergal will be sharing his reflection with us, looking at the Beatitudes and how it is that we should live our Christian lives in this time, which is very fitting with the Lenten season in which we find ourselves. Added to that, then, we have later again coming and sharing with us Pastor Phil with his next installment from the Book of Jonah, this one entitled Second Chances. Amen. And now a word from Joe.
Hello. This week I sat down to engage with God for a good soul search, and there are times when I go particularly deep. I am thankful for my lot and reminded God of how he's dealt with me so bountifully over the years. Most things in my life are good. There's food and firewood, shelter and raiment, and I'm in good health. He might ask, is there anything else you'd like now? In spite of all of this, I struggled and I couldn't understand why, so it was time to do some self-policing. There was this unhappiness that I needed to remedy. Was I being ungrateful, ungracious, cynical, or what? A dictionary is a powerful book to have during prayer times, and I opened it and found the words world weary. In 2 Peter 2, verses 7 to 10, we see that God delivered just Lot, whose righteous soul was vexed from day to day with the unlawful deeds of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. If I wasn't upset by what I see in the world, I'd be desensitized to it. There are days when I remind the Lord of how I'm looking forward to going home. There are lots of good things in this life, but bit by bit, I see how the world is getting darker and darker. I had become world weary, and truth be told, the matter had been creeping in for quite a while. In Matthew 23, Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Although he didn't live in a state of perpetual gloom, Jesus was nevertheless grieved by the state of the world at that time. Even God in heaven said, I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. The wickedness we see from day to day is because people are deaf to God. The prophet Malachi said, Ye have wearied the Lord. Ephesians 4:30 reads, Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So if you experience weariness like I have done, you are in good company with God. It will pass, and it won't be long until we're all home. God bless you.
Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill, where we have been journeying through what it is that we believe, looking at the Holy Catholic Church and what that means to us. We have read Psalm 121 and we have just pondered upon the blessings and the promises that are in that scripture of how God looks after us and is there for us. We've listened to Joe sharing with us about worldly weariness and how that can go and drag us down and how we need to take time out with the Lord and recognize that our joy is in the Lord. He is the one that gives us strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And now we come to looking at the Beatitudes with Father Fergal. But before we do so, it is important that we take the time out to read those Beatitudes from Matthew in chapter 5, which Suchi is going to do for us. And then Father Fergal is going to share his reflection. It's important for us to stop up and to consider the teachings of Jesus in this time of Lent, to consider how it is that we ought to live as Christians, and to recognize that we fall short of the standard that God expects of us. I truthfully believe that if you take a look at this world around about us and the condition that it's in part the reason that is the case is because we as followers of Jesus Christ are not living and speaking according to his teaching. One of the scriptures that really fascinates me, that has been intriguing me of late, is this. And that is where Paul goes and exhorts those he was writing to follow my example as I follow Christ. Are you someone who would encourage somebody else to follow your example as you follow Christ? As we dig into the teaching of the Beatitude and Father Fergal's exposition thereof, let us consider how it is that we live as Christians in this day and age.
Matthew chapter 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, this is a reflection on the Beatitudes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Jesus teaches us all a new way of life. Jesus' Beatitudes have a strong interior emphasis, forcing us to meditate upon our motivations, our dispositions, and our desires. Internal authenticity is at the heart of this gospel. The Beatitudes, which present and realize the kingdom of God, do not allow us to close ourselves to others while hiding behind the law. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount reminds us of the extent of our love for God that we express by loving others in a very self-sacrificial way. The Beatitudes remind us to seek God's holy kingdom in all decisions of our lives, i.e. to always have an eternally inclined mindset. Jesus' Beatitudes reveal to us our mandate on how to be good stewards. Jesus invites us to put the kingdom into action, to live out the gospel values of the kingdom. In the sermon, we are given a lens to reflect upon so that we can truly face ourselves and our destructive tendencies. We are to be poor in spirit and not pining for material goods. We are to be pure of heart, not satisfying every craving that we have. We are to be gentle and merciful. The bridal city, the heavenly Jerusalem, which is the beatific vision in God's holy kingdom, awaits us if we cooperate with God's vision. Satan hates unity and seeing people pray together and grow in their love of God. Satan hates when you do good. Satan wants to hold you back from achieving your true spiritual potential. This gospel of the Beatitudes teaches us to take God more seriously, to be very alert and wary to the ways of the evil one. In the readings since Christmas, Jesus has been revealed as the new royal son of David and the son of God. Jesus is sent to lead a new exodus that brings Israel out of captivity to the nations and brings all the nations to God. As Moses led Israel from Egypt through the sea to give them God's law on Mount Sinai, Jesus has passed through the waters in baptism. Now, Jesus goes to the mountain to proclaim a new law, the law of his kingdom, the path to true spiritual freedom. The Beatitudes mark the fulfillment of God's covenant promise to Abraham, that through his descendants, all the nations of the world would receive God's blessings. St. Paul says that the poor in spirit are those who know that nothing they do can merit God's mercy and grace. These are the humble remnant taught to seek refuge in the name of the Lord. The Beatitudes reveal the divine path and purpose for our lives. All our striving should be for these virtues: to be poor in spirit, meek and clean of heart, merciful and makers of peace, seekers of the righteousness that comes from living by the law of the kingdom. The path that the Lord sets before us today is one of trials and persecution. Jesus promises comfort in our mourning and a great reward. In the final analysis, we are all essentially only clay. God's holy kingdom that we have inherited is no earthly territory, but the promised land of heaven. So to thus inherit the spiritual kingdom of heaven, we must be spiritual people. As you sing in Tanam, the Lord blesses those who hope in him. May the Lord bless you, protect you, comfort you, and guide you always closer to his kingdom, closer to true spiritual freedom, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Father Fergal Cummins, wishing you and all your family every health, joy, and blessing and grace of God. Amen.
Welcome back to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. Folks, we have journeyed through what we believe in the Apostles' Creed, looking at the worldwide church, that we are the Holy Catholic Church, all of us who go and believe in the person of Jesus Christ and have our faith in him as our Lord and Saviour. We have looked at how it is that we can become weary and run out of steam, as Joe was exhorting and sharing with us, and that even though we're very grateful for what God has done for us, it doesn't exactly light up our face. And so we need to stop up and remember that first love that we have with God. We have looked at how it is that we should live our lives according to the Beatitudes, as Father Fergal went and expounded for us and shared just what is required for us and how it is that we ought to be living our lives, and thus being an example to those around about us, which is, as I said, a verse of scripture that has really been intriguing me, that the Apostle Paul went and said. We have dug into Psalm 121, just reading it, listening to it, recognizing God's blessing, God's promises, and that no matter what we are going through, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves, we can lift our eyes up to the hills and know that our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. When we look at this beautiful world that we live in, when we look at the laws of nature, when we look at how creation operates, when we look at how the seasons move from one season into the next, when we look at the fact that there is springtime and harvest, when we look at the reality that if the earth was literally moved 2 or 3 millimeters one way or the other, apart from the axis that it's actually on, we would be fried by the sun. It is amazing just to think of the blessings that we receive by God, the creator of this universe. And now that brings us in our journey to listen to the reflection by Pastor Phil on Second Chances. So if you're someone and listening to this, you're just going, I don't know, my faith isn't measuring up to everything that has been said about so far. I'm not someone who's living that life that Father Fergo was speaking about. I'm not someone who even has that inkling or understanding of where I'm at emotionally in regard to my Christian walk. Or I'm aware even that maybe I'm weary, maybe I'm depressed, maybe I'm weighed down, maybe my faith doesn't minister anything to me. We can be even in a position that we're so bogged down that we don't even recognize that that's the place that we're in. When we continue to go through all that we're going through and we think of Psalm 121 and the confidence that the psalmist has that if he lifts up his eyes, he is going to know that God, the creator of this world, is the one who helps him. Maybe it is that we've lost sight and lost touch of that. Isn't it good to know that there is such a thing as a second chance? And that's what Pastor Phil is going to speak with us today. And I want to leave you in his hands. So from me, folks, just a quick blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, show you grace, and turn his face towards you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Here is Pastor Phil.
Thanks for joining me again today on Treasuring Jesus. Our parents said it to us, very likely more than once, and probably we said it to our children. Why don't you do what you're told? Jonah was about to hear something like that from God, the God he chose to disobey. Jonah chapter 3, from verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. As Jonah tried to clean himself up as best he could, regular shower gel probably wouldn't do it, he would just have to wash and go. And God reminded him where he needed to go. Now, Jonah, where were we? Ah, yes. I had a message you were taking to the city of Nineveh. Remember that? God gave him a second chance. Aren't you glad that God delights in mercy? David certainly was when the Uriah affair threatened to see him lose the throne. Peter certainly was when denying his Lord left him ashamed, deflated, even in despair. He was definitely not even on the speaker's shortlist for the day of Pentecost. But God forgave him. God recommissioned him, and God used him to bring 3,000 to Christ, and also used him in the leadership of the early church. George Morrison has said, the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Now, you might have heard me say this before, but please don't miss it. Failure is not final, because there isn't one of us who hasn't failed. The worst mistake we can make at that point is to think that as far as being a Christian or serving God is concerned, that's the end. My dear friend, don't believe the devil's lie. Serving God is always based on mercy and grace and not on merit. Every servant of God is unworthy. Even the disciples of Jesus had to discover that after debating among themselves who was going to be the greatest. So Let's not miss one of the major lessons of the book of Jonah. Sinclair Ferguson has said that too much discussion about the great fish can be a red herring. No, Jonah learned that God, in his grace, can give his servants another chance to obey. And if that's your position at the moment, then let me advise you, make sure you take that chance. We pray together. Father, we thank you that you don't cast us away because we fail. Let us know forgiveness, restoration, and further usefulness in your service, we pray, in our Saviour's worthy name. Amen. Thanks for joining me again today. Do appreciate those of you who regularly keep in touch. God bless. Until next time, keep treasuring Jesus.